Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Glory Srila Prabhupada. So according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, one of the best deterrents to this COVID pandemic is to keep the windows open. So I don't think they're open right now. It feels a little warm in here. Just keep the air flowing, and that really helps to stay healthy. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tatojayamudhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Nar Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Narshita Pareshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations and Specific Functions, and today's verse is text 39. Now just a little pronunciation note. And sometimes people say, well, Prabhupada didn't stress that. Yeah, because we were babes in the woods. And also, he did sometimes interrupt the chanting to correct something that was being mispronounced. So it's a phenomenon that happens regularly here. When you see a word that normally has a U on the end, like two on the third line, two means but. But when it changes to a V in the transliteration, it means that you run it into the next word. You don't say two. If they wanted you to say two, they would leave it as a U in the transliteration. But when that U changes to a V, it means you run it into the next word. So it's twadharma. It's not tu adharma. Okay? Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Stane tadharma makaman vamaravranisha. Ante twadharma haramanyu vashasurajya. Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhajaha. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Stane tadharma makaman vamaravanisha. Ante tvadharma haramanyu vasasuraja. Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhajaha. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Stane tadharma makaman vamaravanisha. Ante tadharma haramanyu vashasurajya. Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhajaha. Please chant.
Yeah.
Te tva dharma haramanyu vasha surajya. Maya vibhutaya imak purushakti bhajaha. Tvadharma haramanyu vasha surajya. Maya vibhutaya imak purushakti bhajaha. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Stane tadharma makaman bamaranyasha. Ante tvadharma haramanyu vasha surajya. Maya vibhutaya imak purushakti bhajaha. Sarge tapo rishayo navaye prajesha. Sane tadharma makaman vamaramanisha. Ante tvadharma haramanyu vasha surajya. Maya vibhutaya imak purushakti bhaja. Vaishnavis. So synonyms, sarge, in the beginning of the creation, tapaha, penance, aham, myself, rishayaha, sages, nava, nine, ye prajeshaha, those who would generate, stane, in the middle while maintaining the creation. Atta, certainly. Dharma, religion. Makka, Lord Vishnu. Manu, the father of mankind. Amara, the demigods deputed to control the affairs of maintenance. Avanishaha, and the kings of different planets. Ante, at the end, to but adharma, irreligion, hara, Lord Shiva, manyuvasha, subjected to anger, asura adyaha, atheists, the enemies of the devotees, maya, energy. Vibhutayaha, powerful representatives. Imaha, all of them. Purushakti Bhajaha, of the Supreme Powerful Lord. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. At the beginning of creation, there are penance, myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then, during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. But at the end, there is irreligion, and then Lord Shiva and the atheists full of anger and so on. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The material world is created by the energy of the Lord, which is manifested in the beginning of the creation by the penance of Brahmaji, the first living being in the creation, and then there are the nine Prajapatis, known as great sages. In the stage, when the creation is maintained, there are devotional service to Lord Vishnu, or factual religion. The different demigods and the kings of different planets who maintain the world. At last, when the creation is preparing to wind up, there is first the principle of irreligion, then Lord Shiva along with the atheists full of anger. But all of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahadeva, Shiva, are different incarnations of the different modes of material nature. Vishnu is the Lord of the mode of goodness, Brahma is the Lord of the mode of passion, and Shiva is the Lord of the mode of ignorance. Ultimately, the material creation is but a temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world, and one who develops the mode of goodness under the protection of Lord Vishnu has the greatest chance of being liberated by following the Vaishnava principles and thus being promoted to the kingdom of God, no more to return to this miserable material world. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutalaya Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitadeshtarane Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavangcha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivisha Kanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karina Sindhu Dhina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopa Turubhya Shah Kripa Sindhu Mevacha Patitana Pavanevhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha Jashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So even though it doesn't start with Brahma Bhacha, we know it's Lord Brahma speaking. And just imagine having Lord Brahma as your father. Or having Narad Muni as your son. So the combination of these two, Lord Brahma, who is the first created being in the universe and the head of our sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and he's having a conversation with his son, Narad Muni. We know the questions Narad Muni asked from the previous chapter, addressing his father very respectfully as Deva, the chief of the demigods. So Lord Brahma, in return, is respectfully answering his questions. So when you have this relationship of respect and appreciation and knowledge, they're both very knowledgeable. Obviously, Narad Muni is not asking these questions for his own benefit. He's coming directly from the spiritual world. And he knows everything, not as completely as the Supreme Lord himself, but he's fully aware of what's going on in this universe. And now, Lord Brahma, in answer to Narad Muni's questions, is showing that he is aware also of what's happening here. So in the beginning, he says, there's penance and myself. He was the only one in the beginning, at least as far as he could see. There was nobody else there. But still he heard tapa. So when you hear sound, that sound is being created by some entity. Even what we consider impersonal sound, like the wind whistling by, we know is actually there's being generated by a person. So whenever there's sound, there's person behind that sound. There's no impersonal sound. Like in the Bible, they say that the Lord spoke from a burning bush. Well, speaking means a person. It's not that the bush is the Lord. You see? The bush itself wasn't speaking. They said the Lord spoke from a burning bush. So that act of speaking means there's a person generating that sound. So that sound that Brahma heard, tapa, perform penance, austerity, was generated by a person. He was intelligent enough to understand that and follow the instruction. And because of that, strictly following the recommendation to perform austerity, penance, he became self-realized. And he showed by his philosophical presentation in the form of the Brahma Samhita, which was originally 100 chapters. We only have the 5th chapter. And from the very verse, he shows that he understood or knows what's going on. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karnam. So Lord Brahma is showing in his philosophical treatise that he knows the situation, what's happening. Everybody is trying to be a controller. Like here in today's purport, it mentions the kings of all planet. Is there a king of the earth planet currently? No, but there are many who would like to be. You see, they present themselves as being qualified to lead the entire world. And practically since at least the last 50 years or so, the head of the United States, the president, in other words, is considered to be the de facto leader of the free world. Of course, there are many who don't agree with that. And they actually laugh at that because there are many dictators. They last in their countries for 40, 50, 60 years. Well, meanwhile, the American presidents come and go like flies. 4 years, 8 years maximum, and they're gone. So these guys don't pay any attention to them. Why should we listen to what they have to say? Here today, gone tomorrow. But the tendency is there, not just in the political leaders, but in Kali Yuga, everyone, every child thinks that he or she is qualified to run this world. You see, without any training. Well, Lord Brahma is not like that. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavi. He's referred to as the Adikavi, the first learned being in the universe. And this knowledge that he's presenting to Narad Muni and through him to all of us was revealed to him in his heart, and he knew that. It wasn't just that, oh, I'm so smart, I thought of something and I came to a conclusion. No, he understood that this voice I'm hearing inside, and that's why the purest living entity in the universe becomes qualified to become Lord Brahma. And if there is no pure living entity, then the Lord himself takes the post. You have to be pure to be the leader. So because of his purity, he could understand, he could hear that voice. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that jitamanak prashantasya paramatma samamita. If you control your mind, then the super soul is already reached. If you have control of your mind, your senses, then you can actually hear Krishna speaking. But even then, our Vaishnava culture is not that, oh, I heard within my heart or I had a revelation and therefore I... No, you still have to corroborate. You have to have it... You have to go to your spiritual master and make sure that what you're hearing is correct. You have to consult other Vaishnavas. You have to consult the Vedic literature to make sure that what you're hearing is correct. Not just because I heard it in my mind or I heard it in my heart such and such. Therefore, I'm going to run with that. Especially when we're part of an international society. We're not practicing Krishna consciousness on our own. We could. Every one of us could be out there somewhere trying to practice Krishna consciousness on our own, but we have intelligently decided to affiliate ourselves with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness voluntarily. But at the same time, to run an international society, there has to be discipline. Prabhupada mentioned that several times. There has to be discipline. If there's no discipline, you can't manage. So discipline means there has to be a degree of surrender. And not only when things are going the way I think they should go. Otherwise, then there's no surrender. If everything is done the way I think it should be done, then practically I'm the boss. You see? So surrender means sometimes you have to do things that you don't like to do or do things in a way that you think maybe it should be done a different way. That is surrender. As long as the authorities are not telling us to break the regulative principles or to stop chanting Hare Krishna, then pretty much we go along with their recommendation. It's just like the example I use a lot. If you're the head of the kitchen and the authorities say, you're doing a nice job, but we want you to go out on Sankirtan from now on, at least until we tell you otherwise. Why would you object? Not that you're not allowed to express your feelings, but if you express your feelings and the authorities still decide, no, we think you're better placed going out on book distribution, why not go along with it? Then you're not surrendered. Or vice versa, you could be the top book distributor, but the authorities say, we need somebody to take over management of the membership department or the DD department or whatever. Please put down the book bag for now and stay back and manage. Why would you object? Again, you may have your own feelings about it. But this is a topmost service and I really like doing it. But if the conclusion is that we want you to stay back and do that, then you'd stay back and do that. This is what surrender means. If you have a society where everybody does whatever they want to do, that's chaos. And Prabhupada indicated that when he was here. He didn't want chaos. This is why his spiritual master stressed forming a governing body for a society. And that's why Prabhupada followed that mandate and created a governing body for his international society. So that we can work cooperatively to spread this movement. Cooperatively to spread Lord Brahma's teachings, because they're coming down from Brahma. Now we know that in Chaitanya Leela, Lord Brahma appears as... How do we know that? Did we just come to that conclusion on our own? No. Because it's given to us. That knowledge is given. So there's a nice verse in the Anchalila, chapter 11, the passing of Haridas Thakur, where that's clearly stated. So I'm going to read that. Loka nishtarite e tumara avatar namira mahima loke karila prachar. And the translation is, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. So Prabhupada writes this nice purport here. Not too long. Haridas Thakur is known as Namacharya because it is he who preached the glories of chanting Harinam, the holy name of God. By using the words Tomar Avatar, your incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that advanced devotees help the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his mission, and that such devotees or personal associates incarnate by the will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord incarnates by his own will, and by his will, competent devotees also incarnate to help him in his mission. Haridas Thakur is thus the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and other devotees are likewise incarnations who help in the prosecution of the Lord's mission. So this is how we know. Not that we came to that conclusion on our own. And whatever we know and present to others has to be backed up by Guru Shastra Sadhu. That's surrender. Because in Kali Yuga, we are mistrained to think that just be yourself, do your own thing. That's bad advice. Lifetime after lifetime, we do our own thing, and the end result is that we come back to this miserable material world. So if we take it as the goal to get out of here, to go back to home, back to Godhead, then we have to listen to the good advice of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, not our own minds, not do our own thing, not follow our own recommendation. This is very, very important. Because again, the natural tendency is to want to do your own thing. And it's supported by so many modern self-help gurus. Yeah, do your own thing. Be yourself. Love yourself. We say no. Love Krishna. You don't even know who you are. There's a question of loving yourself if you don't know who you are. You're thinking you're this body. What is there lovable about this body? Anybody with a modicum of intelligence can see this body is not worthwhile. It's not worth keeping. It's not worth keeping, and no sane person keeps it. Like in India right now, they have a shortage of wood for burning the bodies, because that's their culture. That's Vedic culture. The bodies to be burned, not to be glorified and kept and mourned over. No, real knowledge means you know that the soul, the animating force within the body has left, and therefore this body is useless. And three things usually happen. Either you burn it, you leave it out for animals to eat, which is happening a lot in India right now because they don't have enough wood to burn, so dogs are eating dead bodies. Or you bury it, which is not very good practice because there are currently more than 7 billion human beings on the planet. There's not enough land to bury all those bodies. And therefore, we have like in New Orleans, and the land is always soaked with water there in Louisiana, so they stack them up above ground. They put one body on top of another, and you know, like that. Just a waste of resources. Those who are intelligent, as Krishna says, they don't grieve for this body. They know this body is not worth holding on to. So when the soul is gone, the body is disposed of. So to induce somebody to glorify their own body and try to love their body, this is obviously nonsense. So we're very fortunate to have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, who very emphatically, who was it that gave class recently, was quoting that verse, that bhakti hinasya jati shastra japaktapa aprana saiva dehasya mananam lokaranjanam. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya. Hina means without. So if there is no bhakti to Bhagavan, and bhakti and Bhagavan go together, there is no bhakti to any other entity. You can't say I'm a Varuna Bhakta or, you know, not even Shiva. If you worship any other manifestation, the demigods especially, then you're a Shakta. You're not a Bhakta. So Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya. If you don't have devotion to the Lord, Jati, Shastra, Japa, Tapa. These four things I mentioned. Jati, your so-called high birth in high family or high nation. Shastra, your so-called learning. Japa, your so-called chanting of so many mantras. And tapa, your so-called penances. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati, Shastra, Japa. Aprana Savadehasya. Aprana means life force. Aprana means without any life force. So when there's no life force in the body, it's a dead body and it's useless. But some people, they keep it and they dress it up. They, you know, have wake and they mourn and they put it in a very expensive casket and put it in the ground. All of that is a total waste of resource. So the last line, mananam lokaranjanam. It's only pleasing to the foolish, ordinary people. Yes, you can spend a lot of money to have a funeral and dress up the body and have a wake and all that kind of stuff. It's simply pleasing to the foolish, ordinary people. It has no value. No value. So just like the body, the dead body has no value, anything that you do that's not done for pleasing Bhagavan has no value. Your education, your penances, like some people are very, very austere. Extremely austere. Recently it was discovered some guy was living alone on an island for like the last 40 years. So living a very, very austere life. But not connected to Krishna, so what's the use? You know, what's the use? On the other hand, it's stated that if you have love for Krishna, if you have love for Krishna, then what is the use of austerity? You don't need to perform any austerity. You see? So that's our path. Our path is whatever we do, we should do for Krishna. And whatever money we accumulate, either by inheritance or by hard work, should be used in Krishna's service. And I bring that up specifically because right now, the BBT, by Krishna's mercy, even though there was pandemic, we have expanded over the last year by significant numbers, so we need more space to store more books for selling. And we are in the process of trying to acquire a second warehouse, right next door, actually, our next door neighbor, where we have our current warehouse. So please give your blessings so that we can get this done. The financing is a little bit tight. We could have bought that warehouse about a year and a half ago for a lot less than it's selling right now. But out of abundance of caution, we decided, well, you know, we shouldn't take the risk. Turns out we should have, because now we want it, and it's more expensive than it would have been a year and a half ago. And it's a big loan that we're taking out. If anybody here has some money that they would like to put to good use in proper service, we need about a little less than a million, $900,000 for the down payment. It will be a very good use of your hard-earned money to make the down payment for us. Because this is the way to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Brahma, our entire Sampradaya. It's to distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. This is Prabhupada's request to us. Please distribute my books. It is the, of course, the books ultimately are teaching people to chant. So we also go out and try to induce them to chant directly. But if somebody can take home a book, even if it stays on their bookshelf for years, one day they'll open it up and read it and they'll be convinced to chant Hare Krishna, convinced to take to the path of devotional life. And this is the perfection. The perfection of our existence is to come to this point of full surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada mentions in the same section, passing of Haridas Thakur, that unless one has reawakened one's spontaneous love for Krishna, then one must follow the regulative principles. And the first regulative principle, he says, is to chant Hare Krishna mantra loudly and according to a fixed vow. So loudly comes up from time to time. You know, because some devotees chant very loudly and others chant, you can barely hear them if you're even sitting right next to them. So what is the right volume? So Mukunda Maharaj told me this story. He was there personally. I think he was at the time the president of the manor. So one devotee had to go for some dental work, and another devotee went with him. And he, you know, he was a little apprehensive. So while he was waiting in the waiting room, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, loudly. So the other devotee said, don't chant so loud, you're disturbing people. Well, Prabhupada said we should chant loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So when they went back to the temple, the whole thing was brought to Prabhupada. They told Prabhupada what happened because the other guy was, you know, one devotee was chastising the other devotee for chanting. Prabhupada, but you said we should chant loudly. So what is the understanding? So Prabhupada said, Mukunda Maharaj told me, Prabhupada said you should chant loud enough so you can hear yourself, but not so loud that you disturb others. Loud enough to hear yourself. In other words, this, that's not proper. You should chant a little louder than that so you can hear externally, not just internally, Hare Krishna. But not so loud that you disturb other devotees. So if you're chanting and devotees are complaining, then you should know you're chanting too loudly. And take it seriously and lower the volume. But not so low that you're mumbling under your breath. That's not chanting either. Loud enough so you hear yourself, but not so loud that you disturb others. All right, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? We have a couple of minutes. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You were saying about the importance of following the authorities, and I wanted to share with you what I read the other day, which I thought was very interesting, that in, I don't remember the date exactly. Slowly? Okay, so I don't know exactly, I don't remember if it was 1989 or 1999 or 96, I'm not sure. But anyway, there was a GPC resolution that was passed in that time which was banning in ISKCON the use of polystyrene. So I thought that was quite interesting that actually I haven't seen that implemented anywhere, practically speaking. And also this time when we were in Mayapur, there was, I heard that they were talking, the GPC was saying that it's very important that everyone who gives class has to support Varnashram because as a movement we need to move forward with the next step of establishing this movement for the future of generations and for the deliverance of the world in the Kali Yuga, and that everyone needs to speak about Varnashram. So I thought that was interesting also. I just thought I would share that with everyone. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Anything
That's
else?
Slow enough. Did I speak slow enough?
I understood. Okay. Granthi Rashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
For anyone who's not sure about the meaning of polystyrene, in America you call it styrofoam.